We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome to a Tuesday brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology, the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. You're out of here.
Yeah, get out of here. Why didn't say anything? What are you? What? Why? What was him? What?
Baseball.
Oh, my God. Taking the spotlight yesterday, huh?
I mean, I love a good manager ejection.
Oh, of course.
And a manager, I think, to a certain extent, loves a good manager ejection.
Absolutely. Like, right? A basketball, like, coach with a T, right?
It's getting that T, that technical at the appropriate time.
Right.
Not sure that's how it went down yesterday at the Yankee game.
I'm not sure what the hell that was that went down yesterday at the Yankee game, but it was one of the more bizarre
how
ejections I've ever seen.
A manager ejected.
Right.
And the umpire didn't care.
Did not care. That the manager literally did not say anything. For whatever reason, the YES Network has their broadcast, I guess, mic'd up differently than anybody else. Had you ever heard an umpire and a manager like that before on TV? Now, there's that John Boy Media who has a way to extract all that, and they always put that out a little bit later. But this was during the course of the game. You actually could hear the umpire and the manager going after it. Now, it was a day game yesterday in New York. So
NFL Films turned it around in like 30 seconds and gave it to him.
You know what I mean? Exactly.
They have a lot of sound from NFL games. You have to wait for it to come out.
Sure.
You know,
Or maybe not
come out. But certainly not instantaneous like that. And I mean, a lot of, you know, baseball, back in the day, right? You had the mic down behind home plate.
Right, exactly.
Right?
Yes.
And it was at a very low volume. Mm-hmm. And it certainly didn't have its own feed, I guess.
Right. But it almost sounded like those guys were mic'd up.
I know.
You know, like wearing wires.
I'm guessing there was mics down by the field.
I think there are,
And picked them up. But yeah, they had immediate access to them for sure and gave you the whole kind of background of the altercation, which was complete nonsense.
Yeah.
If an umpire will not bend and deviate and admit, my bad.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was you. It was the guy sitting in the front row behind the dugout that yelled, not you.
Right.
My fault. I thought it was you.
Mm-hmm.
It was not you. You're still in the game.
Right.
But since with an umpire and the way their system is set up and the way that they have been allowed to operate, it's over.
Yeah, they're judge, jury, and executioner all at the same time, and you can't have that.
Can we have a little appeal?
Right.
And if they said it for a moment, like, it wasn't me, it was this guy here. I mean, literally, this guy sitting right behind the dugout.
Right. I mean, did you see the reaction of Boone and Brad Ausmus both, who's the bench coach for them? You talk about a good-looking bench right there. Aaron Boone and Brad Ausmus together? My God, ladies. So I think what we're looking at is an umpire who clearly made a mistake, but they are, I guess, taught. I guess it's learned this way when you're an umpire. Never admit that you made a mistake. The only guy who's ever admitted a mistake as an umpire is Jim Joyce when he screwed up that perfect game.
That's right.
Like literally that's the, and we know his name because he cried and he was like so despondent that he blew the game. I mean, till his dying day, you know, Don Denkinger, I don't think ever admitted that he made a mistake because he didn't. It was the right call. It was clearly safe. You got to get over to the bag and cover better than that guy did, Todd Worrell or whoever the hell it was back in the day. But that was, you know, really the only umpire was Jim Joyce to admit that mistake. And you could clearly see that the fan was yelling behind Boone because his reaction was almost like, I didn't say anything. And it wasn't a he doth protest too much type of reaction.
No.
It was like, oh my God, what are you doing? I literally didn't say a word to anybody about anything. And this guy in the blue shirt behind the front row of the dugout got Boone kicked out of the game. But even after the game, the umpire wouldn't admit, you know, that he made a mistake. I heard somebody say something on the bench. No, you didn't, pal.
Well, you did,
but it was a fan.
Not on the bench. Yeah.
And it wasn't on the bench, no. and he tried to act like he didn't make the mistake when the video evidence is out there. But I think that's where we run into the biggest problem with these umpires now in Major League Baseball. Do you guys recall any other sport where the umpire tries to take over the sport and act like people are there to watch him play? Like, you don't see NFL referees argue with players and coaches like that.
College basketball had a spell for a bit.
A little bit of a spell, but they didn't ultimately take over a game, and it became they call it the ump show for
Tim
a
Donaghy.
Reason.
I mean, he clearly maybe that's an extreme one.
Yeah,
but he definitely tried to take over games.
He tried to take over a game, but you didn't know it at the time by watching it, right?
But no, that they're bigger. That they're, well, pass interference.
Yeah, the pass interference thing.
But for a hot second.
But I'll give them that. That was the right thing to do, though, those referees, when they did that kind of stuff. Because they're like, we're not doing this for an entire year.
That was a great protest.
Right?
Yeah. That was great. But no, baseball umpires have been empowered more than any other.
Correct.
They have the strongest whatever deal with the devil, whatever blood oath or whatever. I don't know where it dates back to.
Right.
But they have the most power that's never been messed with and never been questioned.
Right.
And apparently never will be, as long as, you know.
Yeah.
Harry Wendelstedt's alive.
I guess, but I mean, this is what I've been saying for years, Josh. I remember telling the story when that Steve Palermo yelled at me in the press box years and years ago because he didn't like that I was saying things about the umpires on the radio. I've been right about this stuff for the better part of a decade now, that these umpires are trying to be the show and they're trying to be the game. And at the end of the day, nobody's there to see them. And it seems like in baseball, every single day or at least once a week, there's a story about whether it's Angel Hernandez not getting the balls and strikes right. There's been a lot of ball and strike conversation already this season, and we're only a month roughly into the season, and everybody's complaining weekly about the ball and strike judgment. And then you have what we saw yesterday. Like, Major League Baseball now needs to step in and let these umpires know, have a seat, pal. We're not here to see you. Stop acting like you run the show.
Work with the game.
Yeah, work with the game, not be an antagonist. And I think a lot of umpires right now are antagonists for the game of baseball instead of protagonists.
Even the arguing balls and strikes.
Right.
Other than the time it takes, and I'm all for speeding up games and keep them going. Really, to me, it boils down to, well, they don't want to be questioned.
Exactly. That's exactly what it boils down to.
And how that's allowed to have happened to that extent, I don't know.
Right.
But to the point where, don't question me.
Right.
You're not allowed to question
what
me.
What other job has a deal where you can go into work every day, do what you want, and not be questioned by authority?
Because I said so applies to umpires. I have no idea how they've been empowered to this extent. But I don't want everybody arguing balls and strikes all the time. I get it. It would be. But it's almost like, well, we're just really annoyed by it, so we're not going to allow it.
We're not going to allow it. Yeah.
Yeah, the Wendelstedt family is the one that runs the umpires training academy down in Florida that all these guys have to go to before the league even considers them. And so I'm not too upset at him for the mistake. I understand he's watching the pitcher and a noise comes from over here. But to not come back after the game and say, hey, I made a mistake.
Right.
To be that committed to being the antagonist, Bob, there's a deeper problem there. And you wonder why Angel Hernandez is, I mean, yeah, I understand their union is very strong, but this stuff happens all the time.
Yeah, it is.
It's coming from the top and including the people that train the rest of the field.
Right. So if these are the guys that are training the rest of the field that we saw yesterday, that's why
you
they're behaving
the
this way. Right. I mean, yeah, it almost is like that when it comes to the umpires in Major League Baseball. But as a sports fan, like I'm over it now. And Major League Baseball needs to get to the point where next year we're automatically going to the robotic umpires, the automatic automatic balls and strikes. They're not going to have a say in balls and strikes anymore. They have to take that away. We have the technology. You have to take that away. I understand the human element is very important, but we have gotten to the point now where I believe that the umpires have forfeited their right at the human element because they're not very good at it and they don't handle the situation the right way. I keep hearing on the MLB app, I don't know if you guys listen to random broadcasts like I do or if I'm just a dork like that, but I listen to these random broadcasts. I always like listening to the road broadcast, whoever's playing the Royals at least once a series, to kind of find out what they were saying. And so they don't have many commercials on these things, and they just keep running over the same promos over and over and over again. And the one that really kind of sticks with me is that baseball's been broadcast on the radio since 1921. Okay, so we're talking well over 100 years. Well, I look at that as kind of the line of demarcation, right? We've had 100 years of baseball being broadcast on the radio. Baseball's been going on for over, well, three different centuries we've played baseball. The 1800s, the 1900s, the 2000s right now. We have given umpires...
And today.
And today, right, yes. We have given umpires ample time to figure things out. We have given them well over 100 years. We've given them the opportunity to work in three different centuries, and they're still not figuring it out. We've given them the benefit of the doubt now since 1876, basically. And now we're at a point where we've got technology, we've got umpires that are combative, we've got situations in baseball that are being ruined because of umpires. Sports is at an all-time high from a money standpoint. There's gambling money involved. We've given the umpires the benefit of the doubt for all of this time, and they have shown us that they're not capable of adjusting and taking that benefit of the doubt and getting better with it. And I think now, since 1876, they've had this opportunity, or whenever baseball started, it's now time to put in that, you know, that automatic strike zone, the robotic umpires calling balls and strikes, and it's time to start holding these umpires accountable after games. And when you make a mistake, be a human being and admit a mistake. We all love Jim Joyce because the man cried and was so despondent that he made a major mistake.
I just get annoyed that this is so easily remedied. I mean, it could be remedied during the first inning. It doesn't have to wait till after the game where he goes, oh, I saw it. You had the discussion.
Right.
Heck, you could show him the video evidence if you want.
Right, exactly.
You had a delay anyway because you're all arguing. You know what I mean? It's not like it was holding up the game. And heck, the guy in the front row might go, that was me, man.
Yeah.
Leave him in the game and just say, all right, my bad. I thought it was him. It was not. He's going to stay in the game. Let's play ball.
Right, let's play ball.
And it's done.
And it's over.
But they can't bring themselves to that because that's admitting some kind of higher mistake.
Right.
And then we'll just go in the denial phase and move on. That one is like so simply remedied that it pisses me off.
Right, exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. You're right, because they're arguing already, so the tape is already ready to go. They had the tape up like the next half inning on the Yes Network where they're showing everybody what
you're talking
was
to
said.
Another umpire. Like, I didn't say anything. It wasn't me. I'm sure the guy in the front row would be like, yeah, it was me.
Yeah, right. Bad. Or just go my back bad. And look, and he's got his hands cupped over his mouth, and he's yelling.
That was me. I think your strike zone sucks.
Right.
I said it. He didn't.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, he's not leaving the game. Maybe you need to back up.
Maybe
a few
you need
rows.
To back up a few rows. But,
and there was room. That
and there was room
this
yesterday.
Regular game.
Yeah.
Right. It was a day game. There was room. Back him up a few extra rows and leave the guy in the game. It's like so simple. You don't have to like overhaul your system to make a rational change.
Right. Exactly. And so that's kind of where we sit right now with this. And until Major League Baseball is willing to step in and willing to be a hard ass on this and start holding these umpires accountable, we're going to sit here and we're going to debate this kind of stuff. And really it does. It takes away from the game. I know there are bad calls in the NFL and we all don't like Carl Cheffers and things like that. But not one time did I ever see Carl Cheffers get in the face of Andy Reid or a player or eject somebody out of a game for no reason at all. I've really never seen a referee get into the face of somebody and eject somebody for no reason in basketball. Now, you see ejections in basketball all the time. It happens, but you don't see something like this, or you don't see somebody after the game go, man, I made a mistake. Had the Wendelstadt twin admitted a mistake yesterday and just would have been like, damn, I screwed that one up, we're probably not having this conversation today. But Major League Baseball also doesn't hold these guys, quote unquote, publicly accountable. They may do it behind the scenes, but publicly accountable, these guys are making $350,000 a year to go be jackasses and act like I guarantee you most of these umpires grew up with no friends and were the safety patrol.
Were the Wendell Set twins the ones that thought they invented Facebook?
They did. Okay. Yes, yes.
The band is fully back together now. We'll get to that next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is weird. This story is weird to me, Bob. Because, I mean, if you read Pro Football Talk, I thought Andy was going to retire.
Yeah, Mike Florio said he was going to retire.
I don't know. This is weird. And suddenly the Chiefs have a contract extension with him.
And not just a contract extension, a six-year contract extension. Didn't I tell you he was going to be around for a while?
Yeah, I think so.
I've been telling you that for months now.
Pretty sure he wouldn't go anywhere. But I'm pretty sure Brett Veach told us. Well, not that I know of. I mean, talk to me. Yeah. Brett Veach is, you know, signs the same contracts now.
Right.
So,
because if Andy's going, Brett's probably going, we must be going somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. So they've both been signed to contract extensions.
Yeah.
And the band is together through 2029.
Yeah. That's wonderful, man. Get that deal. Did Florio even report on this? Does anybody know? I wasn't going to give him the satisfaction or the time of day to look through his ex formerly Twitter feed and see
did he hand off the story to somebody else?
Or did he say, but eventually he'll retire? Yeah. In 2029, I don't know.
Williams wrote the story for Pro Football Talk.
Of course, yeah. So he didn't touch this one. Like you talk about a big swing and a miss, you know, for Mike Florio, who was adamant that Andy Reid was retiring after the Super Bowl.
Well, people in the building were bracing for it.
No, they weren't, though. They were never bracing for that. And that's what I tried to tell people. But, you know, Mike Florio's got this national pulpit that he has the opportunity to go and spew lies on, and people believe, you know, what he's saying. I've told you all along, probably since about, I don't know, maybe October, that they were working on contract extensions for Andy Reid and for Brett Veach and Mark Donovan included as well.
They're let's stay. This is kind of fun.
This is fun. I kind of enjoy this.
Hanging around. Yeah.
Right. Ask them after the end of the 2012 season if they wanted to stay around. It may have been a different story right now, but I think it's obviously it's a great thing to have the band back together, because now Mark Donovan can work on getting a stadium done, and that's probably going to be his number one goal in order to continue to run the day-to-day operations of the Chiefs, but also to focus on what's next with their stadium and what that's going to look like in Kansas. So they've got themselves, a lot of work to figure out over the next 6 years. And then, of course, Andy Reid and Brett Veach. I mean, you want these guys together. It's the most successful duo in Kansas City sports history, Brett Veach and Andy Reid. You know, from a player personnel standpoint, as the general manager acquiring all the great talent and, hitting these drafts out of the ballpark, to the head coach that's won multiple Super Bowls now here in Kansas City and is continuing to crush everything in his way. I really think, too, Andy Reid is the ultimate story in how an old person can reinvent themselves in their job and get better. A lot of times people get to that certain point in their life where they're not willing to go ahead and reinvent themselves. And I don't mean old person and Andy Reid like Mike Florio did. I mean the guy had 14 years of experience as a head football coach in Philadelphia, and he comes here to Kansas City and basically reinvented himself on the way that he does things and got better as a head football coach. In fact, he's probably living his best coaching life right now here in Kansas City. And I look at the contract extensions yesterday for the next 6 years, and I say, okay, here's what's in front of us right now, right? Okay, here's what's in front of us. What should be the goal? Well, it's to pass New England in Super Bowls and leave the game as the winningest duo in NFL history. and they have a shot to do it. You've got six more years. You need three to tie New England. You need four to pass New England and four to tie Tom Brady. Can the Chiefs win four of the next six Super Bowls? Can they win three of the next six Super Bowls? They've won three of the last, or they've been in, what, three of the last five Super Bowls, right? They've been in three of the last five Super Bowls, or one, what I'm forgetting now.
Wow.
What, they've won three of the last five?
Look at this arrogant pulpit we're at now.
Like, it's not arrogant.
I don't know, tell me which Super Bowl we were right, in.
Well, we had that conversation last week. Which one was it?
It's kind of great. So which one was it again?
So they've won three Super Bowls in the last, what, five seasons, right? The,
yes.
The 2019, 2020, 21, 22, and 23. Five seasons, they've won three Super Bowls. They've been to four. So they've been to four of the last five, won three of the last five. As long as
just
they
keep up that pace.
Keep up that pace.
And you got it.
And in the next six years.
Too much, is it?
No, it's not. It really isn't.
But when your quarterback wakes up in overtime of the AFC Championship game, it's not.
I mean, it's crazy, right? I mean, and obviously that's the X factor, is having Patrick Mahomes on there and being able to do the magical things that he's able to do. But now we've got a real shot. And I think the six-year window, Josh, I don't think that's a window that they just took a stab at the dark in. They're like, okay, we've got how many championships? Three. We need three more to pass, or to tie New England, four to pass. All right, give us 6 years to get four championships. And I would imagine, I'll say the goal is to win four in the next 6 years. They're probably looking at it and going, well, let's eight-peat, you know, because that's essentially what it would be if they run the table until Andy Reid and Brett Veach end their contracts in 2029. They've already got two. You win six more. That's called an eight-peat. I think we'd all be good with an eight-peat around here, right?
I mean, I'm glad they set up the way they did, but wouldn't it have been amazing that they said they will be extended as long as the run continues?
Yeah.
and after which time they will decide what's next.
Yeah. As long as they keep winning Super Bowls, another year is added onto the end of the contract.
Rollover,
right?
Like old college coach rollover.
Correct.
You know, where you get the extra year if you make the bowl game or whatever.
Right.
If they just did that, they just keep rolling but over contract.
That has to be the goal, though, right? I mean, when you look at this, this is why they're here. They're here to change history. They're here to change the narrative. The best franchise is in the NFL.
They want to win them all.
And and they're off to an amazing start. 3 and 5 years is pretty damn impressive, right? I don't think that did New England even win 3 and 5 years during their run. I don't think that they did, because they had that wide gap of a decade where they went to some Super Bowls but ended up losing those Super Bowls to the Giants a couple of times, right? So you've got the opportunity now really in front of you to go out there and change the course of history in the NFL.
No, your goal.
And I think that's what they want
to
do.
Your goal is set to tie or surpass them during this window.
Right. And you have the opportunity to do it. Who's going to tell them no?
You started the run.
Right.
Well, we all should.
Well, that's true. From that standpoint,
We all should say you can't do
it. You guys stink, okay?
Also cool, according to the reports from Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, Clark Hunt told Andy Reid, I want to make you the highest paid guy.
Yeah, which is great. Yeah. Look, go for it.
We're gonna leave no doubt. We're gonna give you nothing.
You're the highest paid coach,
yes.
Brett. I hope you're the highest paid GM, and Mark, I hope you're the highest paid team president.
Didn't say those things, but it did say I'm gonna make you the highest paid coach, which is warranted. Like,
yeah,
I want to make you the highest paid coach.
But who else are you paying that kind of money to? Like, who should even be in consideration for the highest paid coach?
But that's not how
NFL.
It works.
I know, it's usually the next guy who gets paid and becomes
Matt Rhule.
Matt Rhule, which is stupid money,
gets
right?
More money than Andy Reid there for a smidge.
Yeah,
because he was in the door and got a great deal.
Exactly, good for him.
So no, I think it was pretty cool that the owner of the team, the boss,
right,
says, I'd like to make you the highest paid.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Let's do this. So
let's take care of business.
Pretty cool.
Why do I want to go anywhere else?
Speaking of
In-N-Out Burger and the beach can wait, baby.
of Brett Veach, a draft ahead, of course, on Thursday. What is the likelihood of moving up in this year's draft out of 32 into the 20s or 15s or
maybe to number one
or four?
Yeah.
We've been pining for four or three. I mean, three's open too. Let's don't close the door on any of these things. But what's the likelihood of trading?
You know, weighing the options, and on one end, there's probably, you know, I think there's 16, 18 guys this year that we have as first round grades. You factor in some quarterbacks there. So, you know, and then some maybe some teams that go in different directions that are contradictory to what our board has. So you figure 16 to 18 names. Four quarterbacks, maybe five quarterbacks. I mean, there could be a window there where we have an opportunity to get a guy, and then just weighing, you know, the cost, because if it is a corner or an O lineman, or, you know, receiver, you know, we're probably going to give up the opportunity to draft that other position later in the draft. So is, you know, one guy that you have a first round grade on better than two guys that you maybe have second, third round grades on? It's just kind of weighing that formula for us. And, you know, I think that's where it comes down to just, you know, the value of that guy that falls. And if he's one of those guys that you really have as a top 10, top 12 pick, I think you up and do it like Trent McDuffie's situation. I think if it's one of those guys, I think we'll certainly be aggressive and hopefully we can find a trading partner. But I also think there's some depth in round two there. So, you know, I do think there's opportunities to add players that come in and push for starting positions in rounds two and three as well.
So that's always an interesting dynamic to me. Like there's obviously 32 picks.
Mm-hmm.
We have 16 to 18 guys we consider being
famous. Basically half of the first round they view as first round talent.
Those are guys worth going up and getting.
Right.
And the rest are like, well, if they're there, I'll pick them.
Right. Or but, maybe I'll just trade back if I don't really feel like I want to get a guy on a rookie deal that I'm going to have to look at a fifth-year option for potentially. And I can trade back and not have to worry, you know, about that fifth-year option because everybody taken after the first round doesn't have that opportunity to have the fifth-year option. They have 4 years and they're on their merry way. So that may be what the Chiefs decide to do. They may look at that. They may say, God, there just really isn't anybody here at 32 that we're willing to spend a first-round draft pick on. But there's somebody at 32 that maybe, let's just say, the Baltimore Ravens are interested in spending a first-round draft pick on. They flip us a couple of picks. They get back into the first round. They get their guy. Everybody's happy. We'll see you on Friday type of thing. And I think that's one of those things, you know, with the draft that I wouldn't be surprised to see. I wouldn't be surprised to see all of the guys that the Chiefs covet gone. And then they look around and they go, you know what? Let's bounce out of this pick and let's compile some more picks. Because the one thing that Brett Veach has been able to do better than I think anybody is draft rounds 2 to 7, right? Like he doesn't have many first round picks to judge on because they've traded him for Patrick Mahomes or whatever the case may be. You've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire and you've got Felix. Clyde Edwards-Helaire as a first round pick didn't really pan out, but he's a functional player on your roster.
But they might have had him rated
right?
as a second rounder.
But they could have had him rated as a second rounder, but just took him in the first round. Felix, the same thing. He did his red shirt last year. There's no way to judge whether he's a good pick or not yet.
But also probably had a second round grade of the guy.
Right.
You know, you're picking at 32.
Right, exactly. Probably had a second round grade. Exactly. And or maybe even a third round grade at that point in time. Who knows? You know, how many second round talents did you have on the board? We know 16 to 18 first round. How many second round talents? How many third round talents did you have on the board? And I think Felix, given the time, will have an opportunity to earn more playing time this year, kind of get his feet wet last year. But we have no idea. You can't judge him right now.
Nope.
You can't sit there and go, oh, that's a bust, that pick stinks, or whatever the case may be, because we just don't know. Just because somebody didn't come in their first year and dominate and had the opportunity to dominate doesn't mean they're a bust. There are a lot of folks that are late bloomers in life, right? Felix may be one of those guys. This is obviously going to be an important year for him, especially with, you know, Amena who banged up and injured and wanting money. I mean, God love you. You're hurt. You want money. Fine. Felix, go out there and play and make us not remember who Charles Amenahu is at this point in time.
Our top 20 KC draft all-timers list continues. We'll get to 16, 15, 14, and 13.
That's right.
Is that correct?
Got the math right today?
That's why I said it quietly just in case I you know, couldn't count on my fingers again.
Right.
So our next grouping of four.
Thumb doesn't count as a finger.
There we go. Our next grouping of four continues next.
Can I get a minute here? Just 1 second. Can I say something?
Larry,
you kind of said it yesterday. Why do I feel like I am being force-fed the NBA and they're trying to make it something that, oh my God, you missed? I just received an email this morning, Josh, that I get every day from Yahoo Sports. They send out a morning mailer of everything that went on the night before. They do a really nice job with it, right? And the subject matter is Yahoo Sports, best doubleheader ever. Ever?
Hmm.
Ever?
Last night was?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Best doubleheader ever?
I mean, I was there not a doubleheader with, like, game sevens or something at some point?
I don't know.
I can't imagine, like, game twos or whatever.
I mean, I know the Knicks went on a little, you know, scoring 8 points in the final, you know, 27 seconds or whatever it was last night to take a 2-0 series lead. And then you look at what happened out in Denver last night and whatnot. And Ernie Johnson was the guy who said, Charles Barkley, best doubleheader ever. Huh. I don't. There's not enough on the line for it to be the best doubleheader ever. It's game two of round one.
Yeah. I mean, no, I would have a hard time believing that.
I just feel like the NBA narrative just gets pushed so much by the big sports networks when it's not even the second most watched sport in the United States. Baseball is still the second most watched sport in the United States behind the NFL. Yet the push for everybody to like, oh my God, you missed this in the NBA last night, is much greater than anything that has gone on, you know, with publicizing baseball. And baseball still, at the end of the day, I saw the numbers, you know, this year, baseball has still receiving more eyeballs, more fans than any other sport in America other than the NFL, which nobody is going to touch. And I just feel like at times, like, I'm being force-fed the NBA and I'm being told, like, you're an idiot if you're not watching these games. I was watching baseball last night. I was watching the Royals last night. Best doubleheader ever? Boy, that's, you talk about hyperbolic, Bob, and I love Charles Barkley, but that's a little hyperbolic there, man. Yeah.
No, I think, well, I mean, ESPN definitely has an NBA agenda, and that's
sure,
fine.
Sure, yeah.
And then, yeah, we don't have a team.
Right,
so
and then that factors in as well.
It definitely factors in. If we had a team, we might care more.
Maybe so.
Like, collectively more. There are pockets of NBA fans, and you can watch it, and you know, I like the NBA game.
Right.
If we had a team, I'd be more invested. I'm not as invested. I don't dislike it or anything like that. But, yeah, I feel like that there's a definitive agenda by, especially ESPN. I mean, they bent over backwards to talk NBA.
They really do. Like, but again, it's what, you know, people talk about. People talk about LeBron James all the time, right? And I was talking to our old boss, you know, a while back, and he had said, you know, the best piece of advice that Colin Cowherd gave him is, like, you got to relate to the person in Buffalo when you're talking the NBA. How do you do that? You talk about, you know, LeBron James and whatnot, because everybody's talking about the LeBron James. But the one thing that basketball does have that baseball doesn't have, and if baseball somehow could develop this, and I think they're trying to, with trying to speed up the offseason a little bit, but Scott Boras gets in the way and mucks everything up and tries to ruin the sport of baseball. Scott Boras is the worst thing to happen to baseball. He's worse for baseball than steroids, as I've said before. I think the NBA does have that drama, and it does have those personalities, and that's where baseball has always been lacking when it comes to the NBA. The NBA has big-time personalities that everybody knows that may not be a fan of the sport. You know, Joel Embiid's always hurt. You know, LeBron is going to be out there playing and dominating games, you know, so people can relate to the personalities in the NBA. And if baseball could ever find a way to get people to relate to the personalities like they do in the NBA and the NFL, think of how much better baseball as a sport would be. It's every night. Basketball isn't every night. Football isn't every night. Yet we relate to those personalities. How can baseball get us relating to the personalities like we do in the NBA? Because you know, every sports fan has an opinion of LeBron James. Not every sports fan has an opinion of Mike Trout or Otani.
I couldn't remember Mike Trout's first name the other day.
Were you drinking?
I was like, Trout? Like, Trout? What was his first name? I was like, oh. I felt like it was less on me and more on baseball.
Yeah, well, it could be.
You know, I mean, like.
I mean, you are in your 50s now.
There was part of that, but I was like, Trout.
Have you taken a dementia test yet?
Steve Trout?
Yeah. No, there was a Steve Trout.
There was, yeah.
That was his father.
Oh, look, another top 20 list. How unique. Something that's never been done in sports radio before.
Mahomes looks that way. He's going to go wide open, left side, caught. Kelsey, caught around.
Here is the top 20 draft picks in Kansas City sports history. Presented by Fesco in the Morning, who realize that you think their list sucks.
Over to first in time. Runner going to try to score. Wild throw. Hosmer gambling that he could dash home.
Yeah, you'll probably think our list sucks. That's fine.
That's all right. We think it does, too.
We'll look at the top 20 all-time KC draft picks. Now, mainly they've had to perform here, too.
Sure.
I don't know how many outside, if you're like, oh, we draft someone and they went on to do something somewhere else. They get more points for doing it here.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really what it is.
They're drafted here.
So we gave our honorable mention 2019, 18, and 17 yesterday. If you missed that, you've got to download the pod because we can't recap. We don't have the time.
No. Pacing.
Yeah. So coming in at number 16, we're going 16, 15, 14, and 13.
Thank you
today.
Very much.
All-time draft picks for Kansas City sports.
I got to take a picture of this tablet that this thing is.
Scroll that this thing is
Nathan, how would you describe this? I mean, our project here, it looks like a third grade,
third,
second?
maybe not even.
Absolutely, yeah. The piece of paper is like as if someone's like laying the plan for a house, and they've got a big.
Yeah, okay,
yeah, it's a good blueprint. Yeah, yeah, I should have it in a tube. I should roll it up and keep it in a tube.
Well,
right?
Too late now. You've already creased it.
It's a little big to roll. Coming in at number 16, Bo Jackson.
Bo Jackson
coming in at number 16. And I always hesitate with Bo Jackson because I do believe what could have been is bigger than what was. I mean, he was an amazing athlete, there's no doubt. But just imagine if he doesn't get hurt, what could have been. We could have been looking at maybe the greatest sports athlete of all time in the four majors, and he could have dominated two sports at once.
Not to say he wasn't going to get hurt, but that debilitating, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's not to say he couldn't have, you know, succumbed to a knee injury for a year or whatever. But the way that hip went, he was never, ever the same.
No,
right? Came
never.
Back to baseball and basically gimped around the bases and had a pseudo-successful career despite that.
Right,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, what there's still the what might have been. Yeah,
right.
Could have been, probably would have been the greatest athlete.
He probably
would have went down as the greatest athlete.
He was the guy. Like, everybody knew Bo Jackson, right? Like, whether or not you were a sports fan, Bo Jackson was he was like Michael Jordan when it came to being a pop culture figure as well as a sports star. Mm-hmm. Bo Jackson was one of the first to be that guy. Coming in at number 15, Brett Saberhagen makes the list of top draft picks in Kansas City history. And when you think about Sabes being, 18 years old, 19 years old, pitching in the World Series, a 20-game winner for the Kansas City Royals, like, you go back and look at what Brett Saberhagen did here in Kansas City, and you'll look at it and you'll be like, oh my goodness, that is one of the more amazing careers that anybody's ever had. I wish Brett Saberhagen was able to stay his whole career here in Kansas City, but obviously he moved on to the Mets and probably elsewhere after that. But it doesn't take away for how dominating Brett Saberhagen was in KC.
Eight seasons, a 3.21 ERA. Okay?
Yeah.
110 wins, 78 losses. I mean, that's
a hell of a record right there. That's 32 games above 500.
And
I went to KU.
And 85 at the ripe old age of 21.
Yeah.
You know, baseball that doesn't allow
young players to come.
20-6, a 2.87 ERA, a Cy Young, and 10th in the MVP voting.
Yeah. What year was that?
85.
They did something good in 85, didn't they? They won the World Series. Brett Saberhagen was your ace.
21 years old.
20 wins. 2.85 ERA. How many innings did he pitch that year just for?
235. Okay. I'll give him the third.
Somebody goes near 200 at any time this year. They got that guy in ice, and they're shutting him down for the rest of the year.
32 starts. Yep.
Yeah. An amazing, amazing run.
No, he's a freak.
Yeah. Coming in at number 14 on our list is a guy who did something that we call this.
In comes the pitch. Broken bat, one hopper to third, and over to first in time. Runner going to try to score!
And the pass is going to be intercepted off of Kadarius Toney.
Whoops. Did you remember it still had that in there?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, man, did I not label those right?
No, it's labeled. Okay. Tony ruins Hosmer's
okay, good,
mad
good,
dash.
Good, 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 good. I was hoping because I would feel bad because I think Cody and Gold got duped with one of those during their show. So I didn't mean to have that happen.
So Eric Hosmer makes the list, coming in at number 14 of all-time Kansas City draft picks in sports. I think Hosmer was the leader of that team. He was the catch-all, if you will. He was the go-to guy in the locker room for the media. He was the captain of that team. He was the leader of that team. May not have been the best player on that team, but you could say arguably the most important player on that team for Royals because he was the guy that blended that entire locker room together.
Yeah.
He was a chameleon. He got along with everybody, brought everybody together. Eric Hosmer was the quintessential leader that you
brought everybody in the locker room together, dealt with the media, batted in the middle, like did everything.
Everything.
Did everything for you.
He was your guy, man. Like that guy right there was a stud.
Lined right field toward the corner. Fair ball. Kane around second. A on his way to third. He's going to try to score. Here he comes. Throw, not in time.
So there, good. Another big play.
I was hoping all of them weren't ruined by
this.
By Tony. Yeah.
Comes the pitch. Oh. Broken bat, one hopper to third. And over to first in time. Runner going to try to score.
And the pass is going to be intercepted off of Kadarius Toney.
Now I'm nervous every time. I'm going to be nervous every time Haile plays.
And number 13 today, our final reveal of the day. Will Shields, maybe the best guard that I've ever seen play. All around great human being still here in Kansas City. Hall of Fame player. And I'll never forget him running down the field against the Phoenix Cardinals, man, and Priest Holmes following behind as he's trucking down the field, just blowing up defensive backs, leading the way. And that was like 0-1 or 0-2, and that's when you realize, oh, my God, Will Shields isn't an offensive lineman. That dude's an athlete.
Yeah, guards aren't going to get a lot of love, right?
Right.
Tough position to get a lot of notoriety in.
Right.
But he's one of the best to ever do it.
Yeah, no question. So coming up tomorrow, we're going to break into the top 10 with 12, 11, 10, and 9.
Okay, that's four of them.
That's your hump day.
I got this down, I think. Bob thinks he could be an NFL coach, right? He has said that. I think I have found him his offensive coordinator.
Ooh.
We'll get to that next. We will talk to Jay Binkley coming up in about 6 minutes. He'll join us at the top of the hour. The Character Concerns podcast will be broadcasting live from the draft on Thursday night. Well, actually, from our draft party.
Yeah, our draft party. Are they broadcasting live from the D?
They're not in the D. Uh-oh. They're here.
Binkley wants to be in the D?
They're at the Liberty. Is that?
Ah.
610 Sports Radio.
I'm Eminem. This is Roger Goodell. And we are so fired up this year for the NFL draft.
Live from the D.
610 Sports Radio's draft party will be at the Landing in Liberty on Thursday night. Come on out. Everyone's invited. It's brought to you by Hy-Vee, the proud official grocery sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. Again, Character Concerns will broadcast live during the entire first round. Our entire 610 staff will be on hand. So come on out, hang out. We'll watch the first round together. One person is going to win $610 as well. You're good at picking the draft.
Right.
Show it. You have a chance to win $610. Make those picks. You can print out the sheet at 610sports.com or get it before the event starts. You can follow my mock draft and do it if you would like.
All quarterbacks, yeah.
Also, autographed Chiefs merchandise giveaway. Hope to see you at the Landing in Liberty Thursday night.
Liberty on Thursday night. Is it okay that I admit that I had a dream about the Landing food last night? I dreamt about their soft pretzel last night.
You're thinking about what you were going to have for dinner.
And I was like, all right, I'm going to have the soft pretzel, and I'm going to have the Reuben quesadilla, and then I'm going to take two soft pretzels to go so I have them for the weekend.
Nice.
And, you know,
that works.
I don't know why I was dreaming about that last night, but that I was. That's how good those soft pretzels are at the Landing in Liberty.
Live from the D.
All right, so I was driving around the other day, and I was listening to the Smart List podcast.
Okay. It sounds like this show.
Right. It's right up my alley.
Yeah.
And so your guy, Larry David, was on.
Yes.
And obviously they were talking to him about the end of Curb.
It's over?
And coming to an end and what have you, and just his career. And, you know, it's just wide-ranging interview. But the guys on Smartless asked Larry David what was next, what would he like his next job to be? Like,
sure,
hey, what's your next project? You went Seinfeld to Curb Your Enthusiasm, and so now what?
People do realize, like, Larry David's 76 years old, too, right? Do you realize he's 76 years old? There may not be a next project.
Maybe not, but he'd like there to be.
Yeah.
And I think you could be involved.
Okay.
Okay. So I thought of you when I heard this.
I'd love to be an offensive coordinator an NFL team.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That would be my dream job.
Very offensive coordinator.
But truly, you do love football, and specifically, you do you know about plays and all that stuff?
No, I don't know anything about it, but I feel like I'd be good at it. Yeah, I know nothing. But I feel like if I studied it, if somebody took me under their wing, I feel like in a year or two, I could design great plays. Yeah. It's a creative endeavor, really, when you think about it. I honestly feel I could do it.
So Larry David wants to be an NFL offensive coordinator.
What do you think's harder to do? Write a hysterical sitcom that lasts, in one case, 20 years, the other case, 9 years, or be an offensive coordinator in the NFL? I'm talking to you, Matt Nagy. Could you write a Seinfeld show?
Probably be offensive coordinator in the NFL, I would think.
You think it's harder?
No. I think it would be easier to be
there. Yeah, I would think so, too.
So you think you could be a head coach.
Yeah.
Would you want to hire Larry David?
Why not? I mean, he is as creative as they come, right? I mean, seriously, in all honesty, if you're just taking the creative approach to it, yeah, I would definitely hire Larry David to be on my offensive staff because he does have that kind of creativity and that kind of outside-the-box thinking, which I believe Andy Reid does have. I mean, you see Andy Reid mix all kinds of creativity into what they're doing from an offensive standpoint. So you need somebody with that creative side, somebody who can come up with, he only did 7 seasons of Seinfeld, 7 of the 9, and then obviously the last episode that nobody seemingly liked, and then did 12 seasons of Curb over 20 years. So you're talking 7 and 12. You're talking 19 seasons of sitcoms. And now there were some crossovers in Curb and whatnot, but think about that. I mean, you're talking hundreds and hundreds of episodes of sitcoms that have to be unique, original, with the times and all that kind of stuff. It very much is like the mind of an offensive coordinator. And who wouldn't, as an NFL franchise, want me as their head coach and Larry David as their offensive coordinator? I'll challenge most of these podunk turd teams in the NFL with me and Larry David on staff to beat Bobby Cannavale or whoever that guy is. Who did you say? Carnivore?
Dave Canales.
Dave Canales at Carolina. Me and Larry David.
I vowed to remember his name.
Me and Larry David coach a team, and you got Dave
Canales.
Cankersore?
Never heard of him.
On the staff. Who are you siding with? Two guys who are just out there having fun or some guy who's taking it way too serious?
Now, I do think Larry would be perfect for the, I don't think it's going to work.
Could be, could be. Yeah.
I don't like where you're going there.
It could
like
be
like the judgment of it all.
Yeah,
and the like. Yeah. For instance,
okay,
it's third and short,
right?
I don't think you should be passing the ball here.
No,
I want to just run it.
Yeah, why don't you run the football?
I think he could have some benefit there. So I don't like him just to take over the job, but. Put him with Andy.
Right. Could you imagine him with Andy Reid?
Put him with the greatest offensive mind of this generation.
Right.
And then maybe Larry would be ready to call plays somewhere else.
Somewhere else. Yeah. Right. Go to the Giants. Be the play caller. He's a Jet fan. He can go so coordinate the Jets.
I'd love to be an offensive coordinator
for
an NFL team.
Okay.
That would be my dream job.
Okay.
Very offensive coordinator.
Yeah. But truly... You do love football, and specifically, you do you know about plays and all that stuff?
No, I don't know anything about it, but I feel like I'd be good at it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, is there anything more we minimize to in life than coaching in sports? Like, I could do that. Like, I can't be Andy Reid. I'm not saying I could be Andy Reid, but I could be better than 50% of these losers that are NFL head coaches, and they are losers, all of them.
But
they're here for a year or two.
Your success would be dependent on delegating well to others.
No doubt.
Don't think I would put Larry David as my first choice.
No doubt, but I could delegate.
I would try to get someone with more knowledge than Larry David.
Maybe, but I would bring him on staff.
But I could have Larry David work with Andy. Like tomorrow.
Yeah, like third and one, and Andy's throwing the Larry David. What are you doing?
Andy's working with Nagy and Andy.
Right.
And he's going to be a great offensive coordinator.
It'd be fantastic. Larry David could bring back all the people that have had failed play calls under Andy Reid and tell him why you need to run the ball on third and one and not try to throw the football.
So, you know, it'd be good. Would you and Larry David be in need of a scout? A head scout.
You interested, or we got Costanza for that?
I know a guy.
Yeah.
On line one.
Oh, is he available? Binkley?
Well, I would think. 610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDF HD2 Liberty, and Odyssey Station. Jay Binkley joins us of the Character Concerns podcast and all things football here on 610 Sports Radio. Good morning, Bink.
Good morning, fellas. How we doing?
What is your dream job? Like, if somebody came up to you and said you could have any job in an NFL organization, what would it be for you?
Oh, man. To be honest with you, probably a scout where you get to go to the college games and watch it and just to report back and try to find those diamonds in the rough. Just probably scout.
Really? you wouldn't want to be the GM or something. Like, you know, scouts don't make much money. And they drive around in Toyota Corollas.
I would have guessed that for Bink.
A scout.
Well, yeah. GM would be the ultimate. I mean, that would be fun. I'm just saying right now, just, you know, a scout to go to. But, yeah, sure, a GM. But there's not less pressure on a scout.
Yeah, well, there is and there isn't. I mean, nobody knows who the scouts are. But internally, man, if you're not finding players and you're not meeting quota, your ass is gone.
Well, that's fine. Yeah, I mean, if we're going to go GM, yeah, I'd obviously be that. But just, you know, just a role in an office, hey, or a coach. I mean, come on.
Right, you'd love to do that. Now, if you were hiring for a franchise, would you rather have me and Larry David as the head coach and offensive coordinator, or Bobby Cannavale, who coaches down there at Carolina, and whoever his offensive coordinator may be?
I'd rather have you guys, Bob.
Thank you. I knew that was the right answer there. All right, Jay, let's get to it. You got the Chiefs only mock draft. That sucker is out.
It is.
So where are we going? What are we doing?
Well, going the same direction with the all 32 team mock, and we made a trade, and we were able to get down to 23, and just like we did in the last time, and we got A.D. Mitchell, receiver from Texas, in the first round. I truly think that's what they're going to do. So we went ahead and traded down and got A.D. Mitchell. Because what we did is the Cardinals trading back with the Vikings. Vikings moving up to get that quarterback. Cardinals are one of the three teams to have 11 picks. The Cardinals, the Packers, and the Rams. Watch those teams because they have so many picks in this draft. And the Chiefs moved down to the Cardinals and played that gamesmanship with the Bills and were able to sneak up and get A.D. Mitchell in the first round.
All right, what is your ultimate why A.D. Mitchell?
You know, for one, they don't have that skill set. You know, at 6'2", but he runs a 4.34. He's tough. He can get down the field. I just like what he did with Texas. I mean, that was a big reason they were so good this year. And, I mean, the guy had – I know people are liking Ladd McConkey and things like that, but the thing is about Ladd McConkey and A.D. Mitchell, both of them have two national title rings from Georgia, because he was at Georgia for both those titles, and then he transferred to Texas. So the guy's a winner on the field, off the field. I'm not buying the stuff where he needs to take his medicine or he's rude. I mean, I don't care about that. This is a silly season, but they just don't have that skill set that runs that with that kind of speed and that kind of size. They're just kind of a needed asset to this team.
So if they go wide receiver, they trade up, they get A.D. Mitchell, what are they doing the rest of the draft? How many picks are even left if you make that trade to move up in this current draft?
Yeah, what is the cost to move up?
Let's talk about that first. What kind of cost do you see to move up?
Well, we'd be pick flop, you know, that 23 and 32. So the difference there isn't as bad as what you think. You throw in like a third round pick. Or you know, you mortgage next year's pick if you really want to be creative, or you could do a lot of different things. But it's not as much when you're thinking 32 to 23 as far as, you know, if you've switched those picks, you know, with them, there's still some value there besides, you know, throwing in maybe a second rounder or third rounder as well. Maybe a next year's pick.
Talking to our draft insider, Jay Binkley. He'll be at the landing on Thursday. He'll get there at noon and will not leave until 4 o'clock the next morning. So you can come see Jay do the draft show with Chris Unocero on Thursday with all of us at the landing in Liberty. But where else do you see this team going? Because they also need some offensive line help, but it doesn't appear that Brett Veach is sold on any real first round offensive lineman. Do you think they pick up an offensive tackle maybe in the second, third round, or maybe even on the third day of the draft?
I think they go offensive line in a second. And, you know, it was good to hear, you know, Brett talking about that, because we've been hammering that for the last couple of months, that there's a big separation between, you know, the linemen early on. Like, if you really want a true left tackle, you got to move down and get them. And at 32, you know, there is some separation, just like what Brett Veach said. I mean, you're settling for a lineman that's a right tackle. You're going to have to move to the left side, and that's exactly what you're going to have to do. But we went Christian Haynes, probably the best guard available in that second round, just because of, and I know left tackle's what you're going to need, but I don't know if you get that left tackle starter in the second round, maybe, but Christian Haynes is a guard, and the Chiefs, I think, are going to have to replace guard next year too. So that's a position they need as well. So guard in the second round. We were able to get Ben Sinnott as well early on in the third round, the tight end from Kansas State, because if there's one guy that I think can make a difference with this team at tight end, it's Ben Sinnott.
I mean, the guy's athleticism is off the charts. I mean, he would be an absolutely perfect fit with Andy Reid. So we get a second pass catcher in the third round. We finally go tackle as we move down the draft. Christian Jones started a tackle for the University of Texas, and the dude's like one of those tough guys.
Does he go by Chris?
Was that?
Does he go by Chris?
There are two Chris Joneses.
Right, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I don't know if he goes by that or not, but Christian, I think he goes by Christian, so. Christian Jones.
Christian Jones.
Yeah, that works. That works. We can make it work.
We go Isaac Garrido, the running back from Louisville, because we figured, you know, might as well. We've liked Garrido for a long time.
Who hasn't?
He's got 4.3 speed. I mean, he's about 220 pounds and runs, you know, 4.3. So if this could be your answer, you know, getting those catches out of the backfield. And I do think they're going to get fresh with the running back this year, and I think they will get somebody at some point. So
I got fresh ones.
Odd eyes at Renzo, but I truly believe the Chiefs will draft the running back. And then in the seventh round, we went with the receiver out of Pitt, Bub Means, one of those guys – 4.43 gets down the field. Mel Kiper actually wrote early on that he thinks this guy would be a third or fourth rounder, but the way things are kind of working out, probably looking about the sixth or seventh round for him. So we get a form of three pass catchers in this year's mock draft.
Bub was the last guy? Or Bud?
Bub Means.
Bub, B-U-B.
Bub. Okay.
Bub Means what?
Business.
Business,
Bub,
right?
Means receiver.
Yeah, yeah. Means catches. I mean,
seventh round pick, you know how you want it. See what you got.
All right.
No,
Jay.
Okay. Going back to your second rounder with guard, this would play into
absolutely
the Chiefs mode.
Yes.
Right? I mean, you're kind of drafting the next.
Right.
Tooney has a year,
but he's also coming off this pec muscle too. Those are not easy to come back.
Assuming
from.
You bring back Trey Smith.
Yeah,
in a new contract.
Hell yeah!
After this upcoming season, I mean,
if they don't bring back Trey Smith, I am going to be very upset.
You're planning for the future. This would be a very Chiefs-like pick. That it's not necessarily now, but the next.
Yeah, and it's good quality too. I mean, you're talking about, you know, one of the better guards. Typically, you're not going to draft a guard in the first round, so you got one of the best ones. And look at, you know, Creed Humphrey drafted in the second round. I mean, you can get good quality there. In the second, I think Christian Haynes is one of the better players at guard in this draft. If not, you could say the best guard in this draft, and they were able to get him in the second round. So go ahead and go for it.
All right, Bink. Can't wait for Thursday night. Your mocking is now over. Have you started next year's mock yet?
We have not mocked next year. Looking forward to Thursday night. I mean, this whole week's going to be insane. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we got draft covered.
Nice.
So,
are you excited?
Well, very, and we'll release the mock draft today.
But
it'll get a couple days run.
You got the sneak preview right.
A little sneak preview right there. That's
thank you, Bank.
You guys got the sneak preview. We'll talk to you later.
That's Jay Binkley. Character Concerns podcast is up at 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app comes out on Tuesdays. They'll have the full breakdown of their entire Chiefs mock draft in this week's episode. And again, they will anchor our coverage on Thursday night, and they've covered throughout the entire weekend of the draft right here on 610 Sports Radio.
Live from the D.
Oh, no. The landing in Liberty.
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 Mm-hmm.
I don't know if our friends at Liberty would like us to call it Liberty.
Hey, our friends in Raytown love the Raytona 500.
That's true.
So we can say live from the D because we're going to Liberty.
Liberty. That's cool. That's cool.
Live from the D.
So hope to see you at the landing in Liberty coming up on Thursday for the 610 Sports Radio Draft Party.
Liberty should just embrace it and make that like their town slogan.
Yeah, just for the day.
The D.
Just for us.
Liberty.
Bad day went to worse for our Bronco friends.
It was not a good day for that franchise.
Love it. Next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball
your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with GameDay, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.